Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the epistle lesson. We begin at Ephesians 5, verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That is the text, and everything beyond that is elaboration and details. And it is one of the most despised words in the English language, is it not? Submit. Submit. It rankles. It's difficult to read. It's difficult when then the reading goes on to apply it. Husbands and wives and parents and children and so on and so on. And it just. And excuse me for going off just a little bit on this, but I have watched over the last 20 or 30 years as the language has changed, and instead of talking about being law-abiding citizens, we are encouraged to be compliant. That rankles, doesn't it? We were born free. We don't need a king over us. We fought a war over that. We set ourselves free, and we will rule ourselves, right? That's us. And along comes this word of God and says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And the first word sets us off, submit. And then it goes on to one another, and that makes it even worse. But then Paul throws this curve at us. Read the second half of that verse. Submitting to one another, what? Out of reverence for Christ. Now let's change the entire meaning of everything. Paul is sitting there in Rome. He is a prisoner, shackles, handcuffed, chained to a soldier, not free. He's waiting for the time when he gets to appear before Caesar, and then Caesar gets to decide whether Paul lives or dies. And eventually Paul is put to death, and he's saying, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Way back when, in one of his earlier letters, he was talking to the Corinthians, and he said, of those who had grudges against each other, who had something that somebody had done against them and they wanted recompense, he said, why not rather be cheated? Why not rather be defrauded? Paul, don't you know that we're supposed to stand up for our rights? But again in this verse, out of reverence for Christ? Out of reverence for Christ. What does that mean? And what Paul is doing is he's calling us to be disciples, to follow Jesus, to walk in his ways, to learn from Jesus, to learn his thinking, his attitude, his love, his care for the disciples. And this has been a difficult lesson for Paul because you remember Paul at first persecuted the Christians and Jesus had to win him over. Paul, encountering Jesus on the road to Damascus, what does Jesus say to him? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And when Jesus encounters Paul, it is not a matter of, Paul, you're on the wrong road, change or else. It's Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The theologians have a word for the attitude of Jesus, and it comes out of the letter to the Philippians, one of the very next letters from Ephesians, and in the Greek it's called kenosis. Christ Jesus emptied himself, made himself nothing, taking the lowest place. And so Paul writes to the Philippians in the same manner. He says, have this mind in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, and being found in human likeness, he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And Paul has learned then to follow this Jesus, in whom we find the whole true meaning of submit. Now let me give you the different definition. To submit means to take your own desires, your own privileges, your own rights, and to make them second to somebody else, to their needs, to caring for them, to building up someone else. How about an illustration kind of out of the blue? Here's one. Picture, if you will, a mother or father changing the diaper of a little baby. Who is taking the other's needs and putting them first? Who is taking their own needs and putting them second? Who do you think has a whole lot of other things that they might rather be doing at that moment than... caring for another in a fairly humble way. And yet the parent serves the child. Wives, Paul says, submit to your husbands. Consider their needs. Support them. Build them up. Husbands, you don't get out of this, husbands. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Gave himself up for her? You mean like Jesus laid down his life for the church? This is the pattern for husbands to follow, because the same word goes to them, submit. You mean maybe Jesus is saying that we are to serve one another, be servants to one another? He who would be great among you must be least, must be the servant of all. And so who is greater, the one who sits at the table or the one who comes up and serves? Is it not the one who sits at the table? But I am among you as one who serves, said Jesus. Just how far will God go with that? Will he do that, serving our needs just for a while? Or is there something eternal in this? We ask about God, who, with all of the power and all of the entire universe, decides to create human beings in his likeness, to give us life and breath, to form and fashion each of our members of our bodies and give us our senses and give us reason and invite us to know Him and live forever with Him in His image. And then when we considered that God who desired to serve us in that way, considered Him not the one we wanted to follow, when we rebelled, when we fell into sin, what did He do? Continued on to take the lower place, being born for us, living for us, suffering for us, dying for us, purchasing and winning us at the price of His own suffering and death, of the shedding of His own blood, at the price of His being laid in the tomb, taking that lower place, who considered equality with God not something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, and being found in human likeness, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him and raised Him up to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, the cross is the pattern for all eternity. The one who came for us to die and rise for us, His life, His soul, His love, everything from Jesus is the eternal pattern that God sets out for us. And when Paul says that Jesus will one day stand on this earth and raise us from the dead, and on that day He will take our lowly bodies and transform them to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subdue all things to Himself. When Paul says that, he is not saying, yay, on that day, we don't ever have to serve each other ever again. No. We will be made over into the image of Christ, so that we will rejoice at being able to serve each other and care for each other and exalt each other. And all of this is God drawing us into the pattern of Jesus. That's the pattern. And all of this is God drawing us into the pattern of what God Himself is like. A triune God within whom each of the persons of the Trinity seeks to love and adore and exalt the others. And that's why when you read through the Bible, you find God the Father speaking praise of Jesus and Jesus speaking praise of His Father. And the same thing with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Same thing with the Father and the Holy Spirit. This is the pattern that God calls us into. It's a pattern called love. And when Paul comes along and uses that, he uses the S word, submit. Okay? When he uses that word, he is preaching nothing else than he has ever preached. Nothing else than he has been preaching all along. That's better. Nothing else than he has than what he has been saying all along. He's preaching the cross. He's telling of Jesus. He's telling of a Savior who loved you in that amazing way. and calls you to be his own. We've been going through a Bible study. How do we as Christians answer those who ask us, what is the reason you are Christians and want to follow Jesus? And I've been saying, as I've said so many times before, it isn't enough to say, well, it's true. It isn't enough to say, well, Jesus is actually God, who came and was born and lived and died and rose. That's not enough. The other part has to be in there also, that Jesus is the one who captures and fascinates us so that he is worth following. Jesus is the one who doesn't fit into the pattern of all of the rest of the world, all of the me first, in all of the rest of the world. He is the one who stands apart from that, completely different, and calls us to know him and be a part of that amazing kingdom where everything is formed and fashioned into the pattern of what it means to truly know a loving God. And it's all in here, all in these words. And when Paul says, wives this and husbands that, he'll go on in the verses that follow, children this and fathers that, masters and servants even. When he says all of these things, what he is very simply saying is, in reverence to Christ, taking what he has done for you and how he has taught us and his words and his love, this is how we will, each one of us in our lives, show the love of Jesus to one another. And that actually is pretty simple. In Jesus' name, amen.